and salutations, friends, and welcome back to The Arcade, a very special edition of The Arcade. I know I mentioned at the tail end of last week's program that we are going to do a very special broadcast this week of The Arcade, and we are normally your video game podcast, the video game podcast, everybody's video game podcast, where we, talk about video games, the stuff that happened in the past week, catch you up on the news of the day, so to speak, but we're diverting from our normal format for a very, very special presentation. I am Mike the Legend. This is The Arcade for Friday, March 1st of the year 2013, and, don't you agree that it's a very special broadcast?
Yes, I do. And maybe my name will give it away this week. This week my name is Dennis the Zombie Wolf.
Yes, zombies are very popular in this current pop culture, aren't they? I mean,
yes.
That's obviously what you're referencing. Zombies,
no.
The Walking Undead.
No, Zomby.
Oh, my.
Yes, for those of you not in the know, that is a Frank Zappa reference, and we're doing something we haven't done in a while.
Yes, we're doing an all Frank Zappa music special.
Yes.
You're probably asking yourselves, well, why are we doing a Frank Zappa show? Well, you see, friends, there's a good reason for that. Recently, we've been going through and filling in the back history of the arcade on our website, thearcadeshow.com. See, for the longest time, the site only had posts from, like, 2009, from, like, spring 2009 onward. But we started back in 06, and yeah, there was a lot of bad shows then, but we still had programs that we did, and content that we wanted to get to the site and show that, hey, we have a longer history than what this site would make it look like.
Yes.
So we've been going through updating, and it's, I believe we've kind of reached a point where it's about as complete as we can possibly make it.
Yes.
Short of going through and finding old logger tapes from radio stations that are now defunct and probably wiped clean.
Probably.
From years and years ago, and maybe episodes we're not entirely too proud of, because they were
they were live and rushed, and we might have misspoke, and might have fumbled, and what have you.
And might have just kind of lost our place, been distracted by other people who came into the studio, like, 20 minutes before it was their time, and were setting up large amounts of DJ equipment and interfering with us as we're trying to do a live show, that kind of thing. I mean, which thankfully we don't have to worry about anymore. Thanks
yes.
to our new format, our new way of doing things.
Indeed.
Non-studio based.
Yes, or home studio based.
Oh, that's true.
The nice buzz phrase. But yes, I was referencing Frank Zappa. We were referencing our past. We used to do music shows all the time. And a favorite of ours was to often, try to ingrain in popular culture, that as popular as we could possibly make it, that Frank Zappa deserves a little bit more credit as a musician, an artist,
as a composer, as in a musical entity.
Yes, I mean, he's not even played on classic rock radio stations whatsoever.
In fairness, though, the classic rock station in our area really isn't classic rock anymore.
No, it's
trying to be more contemporary.
Yes, though we do still have a 60s... 70s whatever station, and he's not played on there either.
Good point.
He's never played on any of the jazz programs, other than, like, maybe on other college stations that, whatever. He fits along college radio as well, I guess. We played him on college radio.
That is true, we did. He simply deserves to be heard more often than the nothing that he's currently heard on radio and just in general. And we also try to expose just more listeners to what we believe to be the greatness that is Frank Zappa. And he is a longstanding favorite musician of mine, of yours, and we just hope to expand some minds and broaden some horizons with these shows.
Yes, so let us know if you don't like it, but also be forewarned, this is our program and we'll do what we want.
This is true. Or if you do like it, let us know that too. Send us some words of encouragement, and maybe for next time when we bust out a Frank Zappa show, let us know maybe some suggestions you have for things that might be worth listening to, letting other people hear as well. Drop us a line, info@thearcadeshow.com, or straight up on our website, our newly updated, filled-in website with past history, shows, and downloads, and MP3s, that being thearcadeshow.com. But as I said, this is a Frank Zappa music show. It has been far too long since we've done one, and can't really say it's, you know, completely packed to the gills. It's not entirely jam-packed, because Frank Zappa was known for doing some longer pieces of music that, if we packed it to the gills, this would probably be a 2 to 3 hour program.
Yes, and we wouldn't even still scratch the surface of his musical catalog.
Not even close.
Yes, he's got tons, maybe even hundreds of recordings out there.
If you go by bootlegs and live recordings.
Even official recordings, I'd say over 100. Studio recordings, he did plenty of them.
Oh, I think that's a fair number then. He did so many that these shows are always a challenge to try and put together. Because when you sit down and say, all right, we're doing a Frank Zappa show, where do we start?
Yes, well, today we're going to start, you know, on a pretty decent place to start. An album that came out in 1973 that I think was sort of like this one of the earlier attempts at him trying to make himself a little bit more, trying to bridge his sophisticated classical side with his, you know, still trying to be funny rock and roll side. And that was the album Overnight Sensation.
Indeed, I regard in his catalog, Overnight Sensation came out the year before Apostrophe, and in my mind, I regard those as a very strong 1-2 punch.
Yes.
Of Frank Zappa's of his catalog.
Yeah, lots of classic material on it. I mean, Overnight Sensation has what we're going to play on it, these two classic tracks. But then, you know, before we mention them, because we're going to play them right away.
Certainly.
I mean, Apostrophe had such a great solid side one that flowed like one continuous piece of music, you know, mm-hmm. starting off with Don't Eat the Yellow Snow, following into, you know, the whole, well, St. Alfonso's Pancake Breakfast, moving into Father Oblivion.
And yes.
Pretty much just telling a silly tale about wandering off into the Arctic and moving into ending up in a church where they make pancakes, and that's that their holy patron is the patron of pancakes, and it's just a fun little song that goes on for about 13 minutes. And it's very stellar musicianship throughout.
It's amazing how something as silly as that song and the premise of it is done so well and overdone, but it still works perfectly.
Yes, but very also similar to these two tracks that we're going to play off the album previous, which was Overnight Sensation, starting off with a song that has arguably an impossible to sing along to middle singing section.
The chorus just begs for you to sing along to it into your car. The first track we're going to play for you is the song Montana.
Yes, about dental floss farming.
Indeed. Moving out to Montana to raise your dental floss.
Yes.
Exactly. And then we're going to move from that into, again, another song off Overnight Sensation. This one, Camarillo Brillo. Not about dental floss farming.
No.
But it doesn't really matter because coming up first here on the Arcade's Frank Zappa Music Special, this is Montana.
I might be moving to Montana soon, just to raise me up a crop of dental floss. Raising it up, waxing it down, in a little white box that I can sell uptown. By myself, I wouldn't have no boss, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss. I just might grow me some beans, but I'd leave the sweet stuff to somebody else. But then, on the other hand, I would keep the wax and melt it down, pluck some floss and swish it around. I'd have me a crop and it'd be on top. That's why I'm moving to Montana.
Moving to Montana soon. Gonna be a dental floss tycoon.
Yes, I am.
Moving to Montana soon.
Find me a horse just about this big and ride him all along the borderline with a pair of heavy-duty zircon-encrusted tweezers in my hand. Every other wrangler would say I was mighty grand. By myself, I wouldn't have no balls, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss.
Raising my lonely dental floss. Raising my lonely dental floss.
Well, I might ride along the border with my tweezers gleaming in the moonlight at night. And then I get a cup of coffee and give my foot a push. Just me and the pygmy pony over by the dental floss. And then I might just jump back on and ride like a cowboy into the dawn to Montana.
Into Montana soon.
Me, I'll tie ya.
Into Montana soon.
Me, I'll tie ya.
Into Montana.
Montana,
moving to Montana.
that Camarillo Brillo, flaming out along ahead. I mean her Mendocino Beano, by where some bugs had made it red. She ruled the toads of these short forests and every newt in Idaho and every cricket who had chorus by the bush in Buffalo. She said she was a magic mama and she could throw a mean tarot and carried on without a comma that she was someone I should know. She had a snake for a pet and an amulet, and she was breeding a dwarf, but she wasn't done yet. She had gray-green skin, a doll with a pin. I told her she was all right, but I couldn't come in.
I couldn't come in right then.
And so she wandered through the doorway, just like a shadow from the tomb. She said her stereo was four-way, and I just love it in her room. Well, I was born to have adventure, so I just followed up the steps, right past a fuming incense stencher, to where she hung her castanets. She stripped away her rancid poncho and laid out naked by the door. We did it till we were on concho, and it was useless anymore. She had a snake for a pet and an amulet, and she was breeding a dwarf, but she wasn't done yet. She had gray green skin, a doll with a pin. I told her she was all right, but I couldn't come in.
Actually, that was pretty good.
And so she wandered through the doorway, just like a shadow from the tomb. She said a stereo was four-way, and I just love it in a room. Well, I was born to have adventure, so I just followed up the steps, right past the fuming incense stencher, where she hung her castanet. She said she was a magic mama and she could throw a mean tarot and carried on without a comma that she was someone I should know.
Is that a real poncho? I mean, is that a Mexican poncho or is that a Sears poncho? No fooling.
Overnight Sensation. Such a classic album. That was Camarillo Brillo off of the aforementioned Overnight Sensation, preceded by Montana.
Indeed, circa 1973 is when the album first came out. Still good, still holds up a mere, 40-ish years later, almost 40 years later. And the theme for the first half of today's program seems to be Frank Zappa in a very specific time frame of his career.
So yes.
73 through
even I'd arguably say maybe 76. That was kind of a very specific sound he had for those kind of 3-4 years right there.
True.
When my favorite era, personally, and I guess as a musician, as a whatever, it seemed to be like he had the best band at that point.
And also before the he got into the later, I guess, years of the 70s and on into the 80s, when he got into, I guess, a bit more sophisticated jazz phase.
That's true, and also more into synths and stuff. But this one was pretty much when he was kind of pushing the boundaries of what you could do with rock music and incorporating a bit of jazz with rock. And not the directly next album, but one or two albums later that he released in 1974, because he released like two or three albums a year at that point, was what we're going to focus on next, which is my personal favorite Frank Zappa album, Roxy and Elsewhere.
Which because of his catalog being so vast, it's, there are often times when an album of his just will go unheard. He, maybe won't have explored it as much, but on your recommendation, I explored Roxy and Elsewhere, and it is a good album that I had no idea about.
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's easy for them to fall through the cracks when exploring the Zappa universe.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been listening to Frank Zappa for years, and there's still albums that I realized recently that I haven't even checked out before. So it's very easy to miss one or two, but at least at this current point in time, Roxy and Elsewhere, and probably for the past 3 or 4 years, has been my favorite Zappa listening. Starting off with probably my favorite song on the album that we're going to get right into, called Village of the Sun / Echidna's Arf, which I actually saw Zappa Play Zappa do the whole, actually, these two and the next song called Don't You Ever Wash That Thing, which we're not going to play because it's just kind of a little bit more esoteric jazz, but I actually saw them play it here in Winnipeg the last time they were through, and they did an awesome job, and it's not an easy song to play on any of the instruments that it's performed on.
It's a very difficult task, and we have another song off that album as we play two selections from it. After that, we'll get into Son of Orange County.
Yes, which is on the cheapness side, which I believe is side 3 of the 4-side record set.
I do believe so, yes. I believe it's the middle one, the middle track of the third side. But thanks to today's more modern technology, it's all nicely divvied up into singular tracks. But if you are a stickler for vinyl, that's where you can find it, the middle track of side 3. But before we get to that, here now is Village of the Sun and Echidna's Arf.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a song about this place where I used to live, where they used to raise turkeys.
Oh, as a prophet. Saving the world, the worst from your lips.
I am not a crook.
I just can't believe you are such a fool. I just can't believe you are such a fool. Such a fool. I just can't believe you are such a fool. I just can't believe you are such a fool.
Thank you.
and guitar solo that would be more trouble every day. But we got to cut it off because that's a whole other 6 minutes that really flows together. If you notice in the middle there, we kind of had to do some interesting splicing because the songs on that whole album pretty much all flow into each other.
Indeed, Roxy and Elsewhere is a hard album just to go pick, nitpicking a few songs here and there from. It is designed as, like, basically each side is just one piece of music, large piece of music that flows freely.
Yes.
Whereas some of his other albums, where they're all more standard song structures, more standard albums, where it's just one song, separate song, separate song.
To be honest, though, I think as he moved on in his career, I think he tried to make everything as one song as possible, because if you listen to a little, like some later albums, and even when he got into the compact disc era with, well, something like, something we're going to play, the collection we're going to play, well, a song from the collection we're going to play next, I should say, that was, parts of it were released in various studio obligation albums, including Studio 10 and a couple others I don't recall off the top of my head, but it was initially meant to be one massive collection of music that all also flows kind of together, but also is a bunch of long pieces of music off of the album that is known as Lather, or Lather, where the word, the first A is, or the only A, I guess, has an umlaut over top of it.
Indeed.
And the cover is just a cow in the front of it. But Lather, which has actually on it the my introduction to Frank Zappa when I was a young kid, the piece of music, we're not going to play it because it's like 25 minutes long, which is surprising to think that I used to listen to it all the time as a kid and remember all the lyrics and everything. The Adventures of Gregory Peccary, that I initially heard on the Studio 10 album.
It's that is a classic one that we've, I'm pretty sure we've played in the past here in doing Frank Zappa music shows. That is a great one. But it is so rare for a kid just to sit there with a captive audience to a 25-minute song.
Yes, and I mean,
but it is that song where it's just weird enough and has enough silliness throughout it that it could hold a kid's attention.
Yes, I think so. It held my attention, and people said I had ADD when I was a kid. So,
oh, you sure showed them wrong. You showed all of them wrong.
Apparently. So,
Indeed, back to Lather here, as we have another song off that compilation, really.
It's viewed now more as a compilation, but I think his original intention was that he wanted to release this whole thing, but it just wasn't ready. And I guess, due to the way he worked and his obligations with record companies, he would just have to release stuff as it was, and I guess that's why he kind of was such a workaholic, it seems, and just kind of was always playing with tape and piecing stuff together. And I guess this was what was originally intended to kind of be released. It was Lather, and it's quite a lot of music.
It is a boatload of music.
Yes, and we're not playing The Adventures of Gregory Peccary. We're going to play something a little bit more crass.
What if, when I was getting into Frank Zappa, this was one of my songs that that I listened to and just thought, oh my god, this, you can do this in song? Like, you can tell this kind of story and have it be this absurd?
But still be good music?
And just be so good at being both an absurd story and wonderful music as well. I love it. It was one of my personal favorite songs that Frank Zappa ever did, which is, I mean, very difficult to pick out one when you look at the entire catalog that he has. But this is one that, as of now, I can point to. I'm sure as I go on in years and explore the Zappa catalog further, my opinion might change. But as of now, this one is, and it is The Legend of the Illinois Enema Bandit off the this cut, coming off the 1996 Lather album that we've been speaking of, but it has appeared a couple of times on other Zappa albums.
Yes, and I think, Don Pardo was the radio announcer in, I guess, a couple versions of it.
Indeed, which is tremendous. Don Pardo being the announcer of Saturday Night Live.
The original announcer of Saturday Night Live.
Indeed. Who, if you want to see a great YouTube video and kill some time, just search up Frank Zappa on Saturday Night Live doing I Am the Slime.
Yes.
That is, like, I'm in a performance where I'm sure the audience just thought, I don't know what we saw.
Yeah.
I have no idea what the hell we just saw.
Yes, but Frank Zappa actually performed on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
To kind of speak to his fame of the time, which is why I'm kind of shocked that he doesn't have more recognition these days, anyways, like, at least on, like, classic rock stations.
Well, I guess in that era, too, Saturday Night Live was still very young and had a bit of a rebellious spirit, maybe a counterculture edge to it.
I guess that's true.
That it doesn't have now, that it can't have when it's 40 years in age.
Exactly.
But at that point, alternative artists, alternative comedians, I mean, George Carlin was
a
mainstay of, don't want to say mainstay, but appeared multiple times on Saturday Night Live in its early days in the 70s. So, so did Frank Zappa. And this is a favorite song of mine, as I said. Maybe we should just get to playing it now. This is The Legend of the Illinois Enema Bandit.
And now, folks, it's time for Don Pardo to deliver our special Illinois Enema Bandit type announcement. Take it away, Don!
This is a true story about a famous criminal from right around Chicago. This is the story of Michael Kenyon, a man who is serving time at this very moment for the crime of armed robbery. It so happens that at the time of these robberies, Michael decided to give his female victims a little enema. Apparently, there was no law against that. But his name lives on. Michael Kenyon, the Illinois Enema Bandit.
The Illinois. Educated women, it'd just be tying them up. They'd be all bound down, just be pumping every one of them up all the back full of Illinois Enema Bandit juice. It'd just be pumping every one of them up all the back full of Illinois Enema Bandit juice. It'd just be pumping every one of them up all the back full of
Thank you. the judge would have him for a special guest. Then the DA will order a secret test. Stuff his pudgy little thumbs in the side of his vest. And I'll put out a call, yo, to the jury folks, that's you over there. The judge would say, don't poo poo, Jones. Then they'll drag in the bander for all to see, saying, don't nobody, no sympathy. Hot soapy water in the first degree. And then the bandit might sing,
why is everybody looking at me?
Didn't you call? This is a raid. Well, did you call? This kind of is a raid. Well, did you call? This is a raid.
wife, the assistant Illinois Enema Bandit, live on stage here in New York.
That's something I think is worth noting here about a lot of these old Zappa recordings that is not quite as apparent with other artists' recordings, other popular artists, I guess, at the time. I guess partially because Frank Zappa produced all of his own stuff and was sort of very much in control of his own stuff, but all of his stuff was recorded like live at concert, and overdubs or whatever were added later, as opposed to recording in a controlled studio environment, which most other artists seem to have done at the time.
And, well, it still remains a very common... more common way of recording and producing music, but he was a stickler for, I don't want to say perfection, but for musicianship and having good... players in his band with him.
Yes, and if you weren't meeting the cut, he'd have no qualms of firing you.
Wasn't there a quote one time where even he admitted if he tried out an audition for his own band, he wouldn't make the cut?
In terms of being a vocalist, I think, yeah. Like he said, like, when he hired a vocalist, he wanted them to be a great singer. I mean, as evidenced by Ray White in that previous song, Ray White was a classic singer.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with, like, Napoleon Murphy Brock and, like... Rocks and Elsewhere. And
he had a number of great singers come through and play with him. A number.
Yes, but then, you know, he still did vocals himself, but he never did any of the more spectacular vocal parts.
No.
He left that to the people who could sing better than him, because, like he admitted, he barely had a one-octave range, which in terms of musical capability is not really that great of a range.
In fact, that's... almost, it's not really anything to write home about.
No, not at all.
So there is that, I believe, even on the cut of Montana, the backup vocals and chorus was done by Tina Turner and the Ikettes, I believe.
Yes, even though I think they were uncredited, but if you listen back to it, you can kind of see it and go, holy crap,
now
it's totally them.
That was no doubt just, I believe, a matter of convenience, as the story goes, because they were recording in a nearby location.
Yes, and I guess he just needed, like, session singers or whatever, and they were available, so...
The one story I do recall hearing was that, I guess Tina Turner was so excited that they were finally able to nail this cut, so she went and dragged Ike Turner into the studio to hear it on playback, and he had no time for it. Like, he couldn't have cared less about it.
In classic Ike Turner fashion...
He was a character. He was a character, but so was Frank Zappa, who was a tremendous musician. And we'll move along now and kind of jump around. We're not going to stick to one specific album for this next group of songs. But we're going to go back to another favorite one, one that I believe it was you. I owe you the honor of thanking for... helping to introduce me to Frank Zappa was when you loaned me this album, Shake Your Booty.
Yes, which was a nice little play on words of Shake Your Booty, but Frank Zappa dressed up like a stereotypical, like, Iranian sheik or what have you of the time, very much like the wrestling character, the Iron Sheik, you know, if you remember him back in the day, or as we mentioned a couple weeks ago, to follow him on Twitter.
Indeed.
Because he's very offensive.
But, and he's funny, too. He's not just offensive.
Yes.
But he's offensively funny.
Yes. But, yes, the album Shake Your Booty, where Frank Zappa, in classic form, is just him dressed up like a sheik with his face in the cover, had a lot of different offensive music on it. But we're not going to play one of the more offensive songs. We're going to play one of the less offensive songs from that album.
Yes, which I think is the more prudent approach.
Yes.
Indeed. So we're going to... kick things off with the track City of Tiny Lights, and then once we're done that, we're going to get into a cut off Chunga's Revenge from 1970.
Yes, the Transylvania Boogie, which is another classic track.
Very classic track, but all that, and we'll wrap things up after starting this, the City of Tiny Lights.
City of Tiny Lights. Chateau Hall. Mmm, tiny blue. Turn in lightning in the storm. Turn in Vegas. Keep you warm. Turn in pillow. Tiny, 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 tiny sheets. Talking about them tiny cookies. City of tiny lies. Hey, maybe you should know that it's over there in a tiny dirt somewhere.
You can see it anytime when you get the squeeze. From your downers and your wine, you're so big, it's so tiny. Every cloud is silver liney. The great escape for all of you.
Tiny is as tiny do. Tiny is as tiny do. Tiny is as tiny do.
Frank Zappa loved his guitar solos.
He sure did.
And just an interesting aside, we were mentioning just briefly before, just a great string of awesome singers. On Shake Your Booty, it was Adrian Belew.
That's right, it was.
Who you might know him from King Crimson.
I totally forgot about that.
Yes. He's the voice of, you know, later era King Crimson. Another little prog rock tidbit there. Great singer, great guitar player. He was also played guitar on that album as well. It's worth noting, I think.
Indeed. It's just amazing who Frank Zappa all had play with him without ever realizing it at the time or whatnot. And you look at where they are now, especially Steve Vai.
Oh, yeah. The guitar legend Steve Vai. I mean, it was just a brief period, but still, I mean, it's enough to kind of change any kid's view of what music should be played like when they're as young as Steve Vai was when he started playing with Frank Zappa.
Yeah, he was just a kid then, wasn't he?
I think he was like 18 or 19, yeah.
That's going to give you a different outlook on music than if you were just playing in your garage with friends.
Yes.
But such is the way of Frank Zappa, the mystique of Frank Zappa, which we've kind of, well, we haven't run out of time, but we're choosing to, you know, conclude this Frank Zappa music special for this week. We will have more in the future now that we've kind of rekindled the fire for doing these Frank Zappa music shows. And
not just Frank Zappa, you know, maybe some others as well.
Oh, we have some others cooking on the stove. That's our yes. Coming down the pipeline. But this is definitely something we'll revisit in the weeks and months ahead now that we kind of had it presented in front, you know, made it clear as day in front of us. Like, it's been way too long since we did a Frank Zappa one. But we hope you enjoyed it. If you did, if you didn't, if you have suggestions, questions, recommendations for other stuff you want to hear us play on a Frank Zappa show or whatnot, drop us a line, info@thearcadeshow.com, or straight up on our website, thearcadeshow.com. And also, make sure you go to our website, thearcadeshow.com, to find the post for this week's show and find all the links where you can go purchase your own Frank Zappa MP3 tracks. They're all online there on the site for you to go purchase it and support the official releases and, start building your own Frank Zappa music collection. It's worth it. It'll be costly. I'm not going to lie to you. It's going to be costly.
Yes, so if you want some suggestions on proper places to start, let us know.
Indeed. Again, thearcadeshow.com. But we will return to business as usual next week, friends. We hope you can join us for that. So until next week, everybody, good night.
Good night.